Blog Talk Radio.
And you are now in tuned. If you're tuned in for the very first time, welcome. And I hope that you find our show entertaining, above all, filled with love and support coming through the airwaves. For those that continue to support this broadcast, I just want to say I love and appreciate you. Without you, there's no Intune show. So for all those who are interested in being interviewed on the Intune show, getting a little tongue-tied there, you can email me at intuneshow@aol.com, or if you want to, you know, get at me personally, you can hit me up at Miss P, that's MSP, at theintuneshow.com. So anyway, without further ado, I'm excited. Yes, I love talking to intellectual individuals, which Artha Untamed will be on shortly, telling us a little bit about her book and all her upcoming projects that she has out. For all those who, you know, want to dial in, you can dial in at 818-495-6975, and you'll be live with Miss P and Miss Untamed. Untamed, there's a lot of things that come to mind when I think of that. So without further ado, let's bring her right on and let's get her feedback on Untamed. Hey, how you doing today?
Hi, Miss P. I'm good. I'm happy and honored to be on your show. I thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for having your presence on the show today so everyone can get in tune with you. So as you heard me mentioning, Untamed, like I said, a lot of things come to mind when I hear that word. Can you tell us why, you know, that you chose that particular word to go along with your author?
Sure.
Your description of yourself.
Sure, I could do that. But actually, it's really simplistic. There was a time where I was reserved from a writing. I would refrain from writing a certain way or about certain topics. And that was just more because I was kind of afraid of the reaction of my family for some of the things that I would say and, you know, write about. But when I penned my first novel, Never Again, No More, I knew it was a novel where I had to be real. I had to come from my heart. And it was a very unapologetic and unadulterated form of writing. So a better name than Untamed, because when you read it, that's exactly what it is. It is purely untamed.
I love it. And, you know, can I just say that I love that because, it, like I said, there's so many different directions that, you know, because perception is all in the individual that you can just take from here and untamed. It could be untamed, the fiery side, untamed, like I'm just going to be real and tell the truth, you know. So it's so many different, you know, ways that people could definitely love the name. For me, I take you on the kinky side. So I'm ready to hear, I'm ready to read that and keep on reading. Every book you write, I want to just read because I know it's going to be untamed.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. No, right? So tell us, you know, a little bit about how you begun writing. Like, was it as a child, was writing the one thing that you always felt you wanted to do? How did you get into writing?
So I began writing when I was 13. I started writing poems and then later short stories. I actually started writing poems because of a poetry assignment when I was in the eighth grade. And then, of course, short stories came later. I really got interested in novels when I read a novel by an author named Lori Hewitt, and the author was entitled Coming of Age. And her novel, the way it was written, it was very real. It almost felt as if the story wasn't really a story. It felt like it was just real life. And that is a lot of my inspiration for my writing. When I write, it's a story, but it's so real. It feels as if this is a real person, like this is your sister or your brother or your boyfriend or your husband or, you know, your mother. And that's the way I try to write to keep the readers engaged, is that you can relate to it on some level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I see, like, you touch on teenage pregnancy as well. And mm-hmm. I think that's big, and a lot of people can relate to that. So I'm definitely feeling, like, you know, your vibe in terms of never having, you know, picking up the book before, and definitely see the direction you go into, which is very engaging, by the way. But how did you come up with the title?
Okay, I came up with the title. The story is based off first four young ladies who are in their early 20s, and they're at the crux of just coming into terms of dealing with a lot of the hard issues that come behind being a teen mom. You know, they're young and they're starting to realize how these, you know, mistakes and how having children at a young age can truly affect them. And all of the things that they go through, it starts to build up. And it comes to a point where they have to make a decision to make a better life for themselves and for their children. So it comes to a point where every, you know, woman has to say, you know, never again, no more. I'm not going to deal with this anymore. I'm not going to put up with this attitude. I'm not going to put up with this, you know, the way this man is treating me. I'm just not going to deal with it. I'm going to change my life for the better for myself and then for my children.
Absolutely. Wow, that's really powerful. So, I mean, I'm kind of, like, speechless because of the simple fact the way you're coming across is kind of, like, so me, because I can put out there that I was a young teenage mother. You know, and, you know, it's just one of those things that I feel that I could relate to as one of your readers. And I just feel like, you know, so many of us have made choices, but they don't have to take away from you. So I can definitely get into never again, no more of this, no more. I'm done. And I'm going to be somebody. I am going to be successful. I'm not going to let someone determine my life. I love it. And I'm so happy that, you know, you're on the show and you're just, like, doing it. Telling the world. So do you do any, like, motivational speaking? Because I think
you know, and I've heard that. I haven't gotten into doing any motivational speaking, and I think that's more because I had to get out of my shell, and writing the book was one of the forms of just me getting over my nervousness and just not being afraid to get it out there and just say, tell it how it is. You know, because that's really what younger women and younger men need to hear, which is another reason, you know, I wrote the books, is that you can say, okay, well, don't have sex when you're a teenager and this could be the consequences. But no, you need to know what the real deal is. Let me tell you what happens, you know, as a result of this, or what could happen as a result of it. Not just the, okay, I have a child, but what are some of the other situations that you could go through? You know, one of the young ladies in the story, she has two children, but one of her children ends up having autism. You know, you don't consider, am I going to be ready? Even as an adult, you might not handle a situation like that, but as a child trying mm-hmm. to raise a child, how can you deal with this? You know, or one young lady also has triplets. So, you know, what if I have more than one child? You know, I'm going to deal with three kids now. You know, what am I going to do? And then her baby's father, he goes off into the NFL, and he doesn't support her with three kids. And it's hard enough to support one child, let alone three. So, you know, mm-hmm. that is just, you know, the basis of the things that I wanted to let the younger generation know, and just even adults who've gone through it or maybe still going through it, to give them some encouragement to say, okay, I can turn it around. And hopefully I can convey that with the book, and hopefully I can be able to begin going out and spreading that same word through motivational speaking. That's something I do look forward to now that I've gotten over my nervousness and released book one and book two.
No, I get it, because, you know, sometimes even before a show, and I've done, like, over 300 interviews, I promise you, sometimes I still get the butterflies, like, okay, here we go, you know, so I definitely don't understand that, but when you get into it, I just think that you would be so perfect, because you have, like, that temperament and that tone in your voice that gravitates attention, and where you're coming from, like you said, people can relate to some of those adversities in life. So, yeah, now I want to hear it because, hey, listen, you hit on something that relates to me, teenage pregnancy. I want to hear it. You know, you hit on, hey, a man will give you all these children and then go about his business. I don't have a bunch of children. I have one, but I definitely can relate to being around other people that have been in those situations. So now, yes, I want to listen. There's a million things about what you're bringing to the table that's sparking people's interest. So tell me, what has the reception been since you released the book?
Oh, it has been great. I have had just mothers actually come to me and tell me that they were actually able to speak with their daughters about sex and men in a way that they weren't able to by allowing them to read the book, and then they would also read the book. And it's like their teenage daughters, they're like 17, 18, is they're saying, okay, hey, I can really explain it to my daughter like this, but I gave her the book and we were talking about it. We had open dialogue about it. And that was what was most important to me, because a lot of times the breakdown is the communication between the parent and the child. And, you know, the children, if they're not led by the parent, they're going to get led by whoever's around them. And most likely it's their peers. But if you can present something to them in a way that will make them open their eyes and take a step back and listen, oh, they'll be happy to talk to you and open up to you. You know, a lot of parents think the kids won't, but if they feel that you are bringing it to them from a very real perspective, they hear and they're listening a lot more than we think they do. And, you know, I was glad I was able to do that for, you know, a lot of mothers. And even I've had some women who say, I've gone through this. I cried when I read this because I just felt like someone understood what I was going through. And those are the kind of things that just warms my heart and just lets me know I did the right thing by putting this book out here. And it just encourages me to keep going.
Absolutely. So your book is a big teacher, let's just say that. It's like a teacher at so many levels. But did you learn anything from writing this book? And if you did, what was it?
I learned a lot about myself. It was healing for me, for one, because I was also a teen mom. So I have sprinkles of my own real-life situations that are spread throughout the characters. And it helped me to heal a lot of the hurt and the anguish and the pain and the things that I personally went through having been a teen mom. And then I really learned how untamed that I can be when I write. when I was able to turn that corner, it was like, okay, never mind this. I know how it is. I want to say it. I'm going to write this just like this.
Oh, man. So did you find yourself, like, crossing stuff off? Like, oh, I don't think I want to. I'll save that for the next book, or I'll carry this over here. Did you feel like you had to edit yourself a lot?
The way the book is set up is actually a series of books. So part one and part two, I had to split that part up. It was actually long, but I didn't save too much, you know, from part one to part two. It kind of was a natural flow because in the series you're going to have, like, different scenarios that lead to different situations. So more or less it was just what can I cut out so that the story won't be so long? Because when you start writing about four different people, it tends to get a little lengthy, and especially once I get on the roll with writing, my imagination takes over. So I come from different angles and different twists. So it was more about narrowing down, okay, let me stay on the path of what I want to say, flow into the next book and into the third book. So it's actually going to be four books when it's all over with. So.
Wow. So how do you go through fleshing out the characters? I mean, I put my hands to trying to write. I made it through like one book and a half, never done anything with it. But I just found that like to be the hardest part of trying to depict who I wanted to be who and how I wanted them to just, you know, for them to play their roles out of things. I mean, how, I mean, for a series and you didn't lose your mind, how did you go about this process?
And you can, and trust me, I understand where you're coming from because it can be nerve-wracking now, especially trying to keep four different personalities, you know, written into a story. So the first thing I did, the basic thing, was pretty much outline each character. You know, I outlined their, in my mind, their ages, even down to their looks, what they would say, you know, how they, if they had key phrases. As far as one of the guys in the novel, his name is Pooch, and one of his key phrases was, remember that shit, you know, and that became, like, the key phrase. You know, that was just
I don't know why I'm giggling. I like it. Sorry.
And it was just, like, one of his key phrases, and all of them had a little bit of flavor. Like, Lucinda, she's Hispanic, so there were times where I would speak in Spanish, and that was those personal connections that would help you identify and just stay on point with each character. And, you know, then, of course, it gets a little, you know, tricky as you write a story, especially a series, because you have to have setbacks and growth and maturity. So it was just a development. And then I always keep in mind, like I said, I'm trying to write it as a real-life story. So when I think about these individual characters, I honestly sit back and think, if I were them, or have I known a person that were them, let me pull from that. And that really helps you, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, that's a good piece of advice for all those out there who is thinking about it or in the process of writing. Those are good key points. I'm not going to be corny because, you know, so many times people go into interviews and you'll see yourself, Chaz, that once you go from interview to interview, there'll be so much of the same questions. So, you know, you'll already know what you have to say. But I try to be a little bit different from everybody else. Like, what's your inspirations? And, you know,
oh,
obviously,
that's fine. I understand.
Yeah, because obviously life has inspired you to write, right? That's how I feel about it. But, see, everyone knows that you're an author, but do you have any other hidden talents that people aren't aware of?
Oh, wow. Any other hidden talents? You know, I wouldn't say talents. I have hobbies, I guess. I think writing is my one big calling, and I try to stick to that. You know, I had my hand in singing and dancing as a kid, and I leave that now for my daughter. That wasn't my calling, so I'll leave it all right there. I guess if my hidden talent would probably be being a football coach because I love football.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I can see you now out there motivating the kids. They'd probably be number one if they leave, I'm telling you.
You know, my son, he plays, and I'm out there, you know. I think the other teen moms look at me and they're like, what's going on? And I'm like yelling, no, not that formation. I'm just trying to coach them. And I'm like, cut to the right. And they're like, what is going on? They just come and ask me, okay, what's your passion?
And okay, that would definitely be me. Like, what's going on? Because I have no idea what they do out there, but throw a ball back and forth.
Like, what did happen? That's my, you know, my second love, probably football. I love it. I grew up in a football town, and my brother played, and I had no choice but to always be around it. So I love the game of football, and I actually love music, too, so, but I love listening to new artists. But, I don't want to say I have limit myself to just a few talents, but writing is the one I would say that springs off the springboard for everything else. So I stick with what I know.
I hear you, and I stick to talking. That's it. That's all I know how to do is run my mouth. So how do you respond? Because, you know, with the good, the bad, the ugly, there's always someone out there ready to throw something in a Kool-Aid punch. But tell me, how do you respond to, like, negative feedback from people? Or have you gotten any negative feedback from people from your writing?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, as a writer, you're going to get that because not everybody's going to write, I mean, like everything that you write. And not only that, they might like it, but they might not like certain parts. I actually had a reader, there's a rape scene that's in the book one. And she actually told me, she says, I don't like to read about rape at all. And I understood that because, you know, there are a lot of people who have been raped, and I'm sure, you know, to read something like that is something that they wouldn't want to relive. And, you know, even with the use of language in there's cursing, you know, there's those flavorful words that people don't like to hear or say, or, you know, things like that. So I have gotten a negative feedback, but what I do is I just take it in stride. I realize that I'm not going to be able to please everybody, but I always tell them, you know, I'm not writing this to shun anyone. I'm writing it to tell a story and to deliver a message. So sometimes you have to hear it just the way it is, or as my mother used to say, the way it actually is. You have to tell them exactly how it is, and that's how I write. And hopefully that part of it can be received, you know, more so than just thinking that you're being disrespectful or you're not being, you know, sympathetic to what other people have gone through.
Right. Absolutely. I agree. You can't please the world. And I do understand, and I don't take it lightly, as Ms. Chess said, about, you know, being in the positions to have been raped or know someone who have or whatever. I don't condone that whatsoever. But we also have to take on the fact that, and just be a little bit light on the situation, because we know that that's something that happens. And a lot of being descriptive or writing and expressing yourself is just really writing down the bones, basically just putting it all out there, you know.
Yeah.
So people can choose to, you know, hate or whatever the case may be, but I just think that I don't like to read it either, but if it's part of the scene to bring the book alive for me, then I definitely want to read it. I want
exactly,
to hear every little
exactly.
If I pick up the book to read it, then I definitely want to read everything that author has to say, period.
Exactly.
Period.
Exactly.
Because that's what ties it all together. If someone was going to shoot somebody up in the book, then, hey, that would be cool. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I'm just saying.
Exactly.
That's how people write, and that's just a form of expression. And as I tell everybody who's creative and expressing themselves, Picasso didn't stop, Michelangelo didn't stop, Plato
exactly.
didn't stop. We could go on and on and on, okay? So just
exactly.
keep doing what you do. You can't please the world, and that's it. You just do what that, you know, resonates with you. So we're going to move on to our next question really, really quick before our interview is over. Now, I wanted to ask you, you know, for someone who's just tuning in, because there's a lot of people, I must say, that's tuned in right now. So shout out to everyone who's tuned in to the Intune show right now. I'm shouting it out with Ms. Chaz, Ms. Untamed, if you're nasty. And for all those who've never heard, you know, about you as a writer before, can you explain who you are overall in 5 words?
Oh, in 5 words. Okay. I'll give you 3.
Okay, 3 is good.
3 is good. Real, raw, untamed. That's it.
Yes. That's how I like it. That's how I like it. So how do you feel about the intention? Because I see that you've done some book signings and things of that nature as well. So how do you feel about the intention that you get? Does it just make you feel like, wow, I can't believe this is really happening? How do you feel? Do you still get into the timid mode that you usually have? How do you go about maintaining in that type of environment?
You know, the book signing, it's something about a book signing that makes you come alive. It is so gratifying when you're able to meet with people face-to-face who've read it, especially people who have not read your book, and they're just coming out and saying, okay, I heard about it, I want to read the book. You know, I want to give you a chance as an author and become a fan. That is just so rewarding and so refreshing, because that's what it's all about, you know, just getting out there with the readers and seeing that support and being able to interact with them. It's a totally different feel. I'm very comfortable in the book signing setting. I actually, when my book released, I thought that was the most gratifying feeling, but every time I've done a book signing, it has always been just this different type of uplifting, just joyous type of occasion, because it does feel surreal. Like, you have people that are there and they're saying, okay, I'm here to buy your book, and you're looking like, oh, this is for me. This is me, you know. And you get to hear their feedback and, you know, just talk about the characters and just see them actually fall in love with the characters the way that I am, that's just the most amazing thing.
Absolutely. So really quick, essentially, if your life was like a screenplay, Chaz, what would it be about? Excuse me.
If my life was a screenplay, it would probably be about my life as an author. And then as a mother, as a wife, it has so many different elements. But definitely all of those play a key part, a key role in it. It's so funny. My life is so joyous. I laugh all the time. I pull inspiration from just the people around me, my power network, my family, even down to my youngest son, who is the most hilarious child in the world. He's going to grow up to be a preacher or a comedian, one of the two. I can't put my finger on it. But so it would definitely be about that. It's wholeheartedly, hands down. You know, that's me. I'm an author. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. And great. I would love to say great friend I am. And I love to just be around people who are about uplifting and empowering and motivating each other and love to laugh.
Absolutely, which would be mean because you will see I'm very silly if you didn't notice that already. But but definitely, I love everything that you had to say, Chaz. For everyone who doesn't know, I need you to get them in tune with your Twitter, your Instagram, whatever you have where people can find you, wherever you are, where you sell your books online. I definitely need you to take the time right now to let everybody know where they can get Chaz at.
Sure. You can actually visit my website, which is www.theauthoruntamed.doodlekit.com. I'm also on Facebook and on Instagram at Author Untamed. I'm on Twitter at Chaz, and that's Chazz underscore Untamed, or you can even just type in Author Untamed, and my handle will pop up. And I do follow back. You know, like I said, I love networking and building with others, so I follow back. Also, my books are Never Again No More and then Never Again No More 2, Getting Back to Me. They're sold in paperback and also in Kindle and Nook on Amazon and on BarnesandNobles.com. And part one will soon be in a Barnes & Noble store near you. I think that release date is set for December.
Yay, that is so exciting, and we will follow up with you when that all happens again, because I'm going to take a picture of me in the store buying it, literally. That's happening, okay. And then I'm going to mail it to you, you're going to sign it, and you're going to send it back to me. You cannot keep my book.
I definitely will do that for you, most definitely.
It sounds amazing. So, Chaz, I just want to thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to gain on you. You are family officially, so if there's anything that we could ever do to support, tweet, Facebook, whatever it is that we can do. You're welcome on the show anytime. We love you and keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much. I truly appreciate that. And I definitely will be checking for you all on Facebook and on Twitter. And I will be there just retweeting and having fun and laughing and empowering.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Chaz. You have a great evening.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Yes, guys, so that's Ms. Chaz. Do not play yourselves. Go out there and get her book. For everyone who tuned into the Intune Show, I just hope it's not your last. We have tons of hot shows, tons of great hosts, and everybody loving and empowering. If anybody who wants to be interviewed on the Intune Show, you can basically hit us up at theintuneshow@aol.com. Till next time, babies, have a good night. Be sure to tune in on Thursdays with The Corner with your host, Altitude. Good night, babies.
Unsigned hype, you a hardcore artist or songbird. Contact Miss P. show her love, cause she do it for the people. Blog Talk Station, there is no other equal. That's why I'm throwing in tuned up. These other stations need a tune up, Miss P.
Awesome.